From in the beginning was the Word, to it is finished at the cross. That is Jesus. And this is Easter. Because of Jesus, the sting of death is gone. Hope is the hero now, and joy makes sorrow jealous. Because of Jesus, we are victors, overcomers, and more than conquerors. Guilt is gone. Fear has fled. We are set free and made pure. United in cause, perfected in purpose, givers of good news, of grace and mercy. Because of Jesus, we are called children of God and the church on the rock. We are friends of Jesus and brothers and sisters in faith. Heaven is waiting, and we have assurance for our souls. His sacrifice justifies, his love sanctifies. The gift of eternal life is free in his name. Because of Jesus, there's peace in our hearts, pardon for our sins, and pouring out to our neighbors with radical generosity. Because of Jesus, everything has changed. We are changed from the inside out, and it's all because of Jesus. This is Easter.
He is risen. If I didn't know what day it was at about 5 a.m. this morning, I would have figured it out because my phone started buzzing constantly. I'm on a group chat, for better or for worse, with friends of mine that I've been friends with for about just over 30 years. We worked at Bible camp together. Well, yeah, over 30 years. Worked at Bible camp together. And some of us are pastors and some of us have worked in the church in different ministry areas, but every single Easter it's, he is risen, he is risen indeed, he is risen, he is risen indeed, he is risen, he is risen indeed, he is risen, he is risen indeed. And I want to say to my friends, I love you dearly, but just do it one time. Just one time, but you know, we're trying at every Easter to try to put words around what's going on Easter Sunday. And a lot of times we try to recreate some of the energy or some of the awe and the wonder that those who were first at the tomb experienced. Russ read from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, where the women came to the tomb to take care of Jesus' body, and they ended up leaving with great fear and joy. I would say more of an awe feeling, not afraid like for themselves, but more of an awe and joy. The other Gospels do the same thing. The other Gospels even connect even deeper into what this means for you and for I. But every Easter we gather together, and our worship leaders are trying really hard to create that kind of atmosphere. You saw that today with the lights and the sound and the music. And about 18 years ago, over to my left, your right, where the baptismal font is, was a big replica tomb. And the whole purpose was at there would be music, and as the song would swell at the right moment in time, the stone would be rolled away, the smoke would come out, and Jesus would walk out of the tomb, and we would have some sense of what it was like. So on that particular Easter 18 years ago, we're watching, and we're sitting actually right over here, and we're my family and I, and we're just like, this is a beautiful moment. There's music, and all of a sudden, it gets time. The stone is rolled away. The smoke comes out, and Jesus walks out of the tomb. Actually, Randy Sims walks out of the tomb, if you know that name. We've been able to declassify those documents, so everybody knows it's Randy. But we get to that point in the service, and I see my three-year-old daughter. She's just focused in, and out comes Randy Jesus. And she starts folding her arms, and she gets this look on her face. She's not happy, and I've seen that look before on my wife's face. No, that's a different face that I'm going to get later on today. I guarantee you that much. But my daughter's three, and she's looking at the tomb, and she's looking at the smoke, and she's, I go, Hallie, what's going on? What are you upset about? She goes, I thought it was going to be King Tut. Okay. Two thoughts that ran in my head simultaneously. The first, great history lesson. Good job. You're paying attention to National Geographic. I'm really excited for your educational future, which is at Luther. We have a couple of Luther people here today going to, yeah, any other Luther folks out there? Sorry. I'm sorry. It's just you two. Come on, let's go, Luther. And the second thing that went through my head was, wait a second. I'm a pastor, and my own kid doesn't know that Jesus comes out of the tomb on Easter Sunday. We've got some work to do. But that's what we try to do. We try to recreate what it was like to be there. And even the Gospel of John kind of carries that forward in a different way. You have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They all tell the story from different angles. And in the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene shows up to the tomb to take care of Jesus' dead body with perfumes to dress his body. And the tomb is empty. And she goes through the same awe and fear and wonder all at the same time because she doesn't know that Jesus is right next to her. This person starts to talk to Mary, and Mary looks over and doesn't recognize that the person that's talking to her is actually Jesus. She thinks he's the gardener. Now, it's very interesting because Mary Magdalene knew Jesus well for 3, maybe even more than 4 years, spent many, many days with Jesus, just like all the other disciples. There should be no reason why Jesus' identity should be hidden. She should know what he looks like. She should know what he looks like. But something has happened to Jesus to where she no longer recognizes him. She recognizes his voice, but doesn't recognize his body. Something has changed in Jesus. And I think the same thing is true for us as we gather around this day. We can come at it a couple different ways. And one just leads us back into a cycle that we can never get out of. And one leads us into the future. And there are two words that we typically attach to Easter Sunday. The first word is resuscitation. Resuscitation. My wife and I watch over the years, we've watched lots of different doctor shows and ER shows and all these kinds of things. You know that there's CPR. You know that there are paddles that can bring people back. There's medication. I was a lifeguard for years, and I had to train in order to bring someone back to resuscitate them. Resuscitation is one thing. But resuscitation only gets you back to where you were before you died, with the same problems and the same issues that are gonna continue to follow you. Jesus was not resuscitated. Actually, Jesus says to Mary Magdalene when she tries to hug him, don't, there's something new happening. I'm not the old Jesus, I'm the resurrected Jesus. I'm not the resuscitated Jesus, I'm the resurrection Jesus. Resuscitation, as I said before, just leaves us in a cul-de-sac. That's why I think a lot of New Year's resolutions never work, because we think of it as a resuscitation. I've spent a lot of years with angst over my own weight for health reasons, and every year I go, this is the year I'm going to get back to my high school weight. No. That's never going to happen. I'm not going to get back to my high school. I'm not going to go back to some resuscitated version of myself. So stop trying to resuscitate yourself, Paul. Try to live as a resurrected person who, while we can bring our memories into the future with us, we don't need to bring the pain. We don't need to bring the bad decisions. We don't need to bring the guilt. We don't need to bring the shame with us into the future, because we're not just a resuscitated people. We are a resurrected people. And that's the true gift of resurrection. Martin Luther puts it this way: it's a daily dying and rising. We daily die and rise with Christ. We are not resuscitated every day. We are resurrected every day. So how do we begin to live that way? Well, the first thing is to realize who actually came out of the tomb. It'd have been cool if King Tut came out. That would have been a surprise. Randy Tut. Jesus is the one that came out of the tomb. Jesus defied death. Jesus has the last word. Pain, shame, guilt, suffering, hurt doesn't have the last word. God does. And the last word that God brings to us is hope and peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness. That's what a resurrected people look like. Probably one of the ministries, I call it a ministry, that gets this more than anybody else is Alcoholics Anonymous, or AA. They know that they're not there for resuscitation, because a resuscitation is just going to bring them right back into the pattern of drinking all over again. Resuscitation over and over and over. They can't break the pattern. But if they live as a resurrected people, if they live as knowing that Jesus is the one that comes out of the tomb, if they live with this, what they call the higher power, brings them resurrection. And all of a sudden, they begin to change in such a way that their friends and family may even say the words, "I don't recognize you anymore. You are a different person because you've given up resuscitation and you've taken on resurrection." So let's bring it down even to our day today. Make it simple. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I am certain that there are groups of people in this room who really struggled to get here at 11 o'clock. Get your shoes on, get your coat on, let's go, let's finish your breakfast, let's go, let's get your stuff going. You know, Dad's sitting in the car waiting, because that always works. Even on a day like this, even on a day where we celebrate resurrection, we can be filled with all kinds of anxiety in relationship. Or maybe on this day of resurrection, we might feel alone. We're missing that loved one that has been with us. Maybe we feel alone, like, I don't know if I'm resurrected. I don't know if I can be resurrected. I think what Jesus is calling us to do on this very day is to connect in with relationships. What relationship needs more hope? What relationship needs more peace? What relationship needs more kindness? What relationship needs more patience? That's what it means to live a resurrected life. Not a resuscitated life where we get caught in these cycles of anxiety and fear and anger, frustration, but a way forward in the future where we begin to live in such a way that people go, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but there's something different. You don't look the same. You don't act the same. You are different. And deep down inside, you're going to know why. You're going to go, because I am a resurrected child of God. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that you call us to be part of your resurrection work in this world. We know, God, that you are resurrected, and sometimes that scares us. We're not sure whether or not we want to be resurrected too. Sometimes we'd rather be resuscitated. But you know this about us. It's no secret. And you still call us by your grace to live in faith and hope of the resurrection. We ask all this in your most holy and precious name. And we said together, amen. Amen.